Jesus' name, I just ask you to have your way here today. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. You alone are worthy of all praise. I thank you for what the word that you've given me to share today. I ask it to just touch hearts and just minister a word of life to people, Father, and let them hear what your Spirit would speak to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I kind of was thinking, what should I share today? And one of the things that one of the scriptures that the Lord gave me was Matthew. He had me in chapter 18 of Matthew, you know. And I felt like I was supposed to start off with the 15th verse here. Margaret says, what's the title to your sermon? And I'm going to throw a title on it, and I don't know if this really fits it or not. But Shirley and Marcy, okay? Shirley, okay, and Marcy, okay? And I'm going to start off reading these scriptures, and then we'll talk about them a little bit. In verse 15 of Matthew chapter 18, it says, if your brother should do wrong against you, go and show him his fault privately. In case he listens, you have won your brother. In case he does not listen, take one or two along with you so that from the testimony of two or three witnesses, the whole dispute may be settled. And I don't know if any of you have any disputes or any arguments or any ill will towards anybody that you know, but if you do, it's time to deal with it and get it out of the way. And in Matthew 18, 21 through 25, it says, at this point, Peter got up the nerve, and this is out of the Message. I like the Message in a way because it just gets right down to where you live, you know. Peter got up the nerve, and sometimes you have to get up the nerve to say things to people. Peter got up the nerve to ask the Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or a sister who hurt me? Seven, he said. Jesus replied, seven? Hardly. Try 70 times seven. That's 490 times. I don't know how many people you've ever had do you wrong, but usually, very seldom do they do it to you 490 times. That's a lot of times. You know, I've talked to you last week a little bit about the situation with my brother. You know, I love my brother. He went to be with the Lord. And me and him didn't always see eye to eye on everything. When we were kids especially, we fought many a time. He was older than me. He was bigger than me. And he liked to pester me like most older brothers do younger brothers. I mean, any of you that's had brothers, you know that the older ones tend to pick on the little ones a little bit. And he did with me quite a bit. And I was having none of it. You know, it reminded me of a time when I was over at Jennifer's house, and Jacob and Lauren were both pretty little. And Lauren had just gotten to the point where she could pull herself up on the coffee table and hang on. She wasn't walking yet. And Jacob was, he was about, I don't know, was Jacob 2 or 3 years older, 2 years older than her. So he was walking around. Well, he was pestering her, doing something. I'm sitting on the couch and I'm watching this. And all of a sudden, I seen her roundhouse him in the chest, and she knocked him flat on his back. And I mean, she was just barely big enough to stand up to the table, you know. But she was big enough to knock him flat on his back. And I had to laugh. I mean, it wasn't funny in a way, but in a way it was, because he deserved it. I mean, he was picking at her, you know, messing with her. And boy, she let him have it. And, you know, that tends to happen with siblings, you know, but you have to learn to forgive each other and move on past things. And I'll have to say that me and my brother, we had some times of turmoil as we were growing up, because he was the older brother and he loved to mess with me. And he knew I wouldn't put up with it, and he knew I'd come after him and I'd try to fight him or whatever I could do. And there was 3 years difference between us. So, you know, when we were little, when I was 6, he was 9. When I was 12, he was 15. You know, that's a big difference, You know, that's quite a bit of difference there. And, you know, and I don't know how many times we got in fights, because we got in a lot of fights when we were growing up. And, you know, he usually would fight with me a little bit, and then he'd run off because he didn't want to hurt me, I guess, is part of what it amounted out to. But I'm going to tell you, he knew exactly the buttons to push to make me mad, to get me to go after him, you know, and he'd do it at time after time after time. And he'd make fun of me because I had epilepsy at that time, you know, and which wasn't very kind, you know, but brothers do unkind things to each other, you know, and that kind of stuff. Well, you know, as we went along in life, we weren't the greatest of friends up until we got to be teenagers. Well, once I got to be about 14 years old, 15 years old, all of a sudden he wanted to be friends. Well, we weren't really that friendly growing up, you know. So me and Margaret double dated with him and his various girlfriends here and there a few times and stuff. And me and him built a race car together, and we drag raced for a few years, you know. But, you know, there still was a lot of stuff under the surface, you know. And, you know, and so with that little bit of friction being under the surface all the time, you know, where does God make me end up working eventually? Not that I didn't have a pretty decent job, because I had a pretty decent job. But he wanted me to go in with him. He was supposed to start a second business, which was a grinding business. And, you know, he kind of told me he would do that, and he didn't follow through on it. Well, when I was working with him, it made a lot of times where anger would rise up inside of me because he hadn't fulfilled his word, you know. And, you know, I realized that God used him as a rub stone to rub the rough edges off of me, and he did. And, you know, there would be times when I'd be at work, and I'd get so angry I couldn't hardly stand it, because it would stir up all the things from kid up to that point, you know. And, you know, and then after a while, God started toning all that down. And, you know, and I kept asking the Lord, "Lord, can I leave here?" You know. And if I had left here, I don't know that this church would be sitting here today. Because, you know, I had the ability to come down here and make sure everything got situated. I had the ability to go behind the builders and the architect, who fought with the county all the time, constantly. And this church should have been built sooner than it was, you know, totally. And I had to go behind all of that and apologize to those people and ask them not to hold that against us and stuff. And I'd have to find out what we needed to do to make this thing move farther forward. And it did move eventually forward, and here's the results of it. But you know, all of that stuff went on over the years, and you know, I loved my brother, but there was some things down inside of me that had to be worked out of, you know. So God kept me down there working for him for 20 years, and I asked the Lord different times. You know, I'll just tell you some of the things that happened. He shared money with me when I went in there. We started splitting on the grinding that I did, and I got to where I was making pretty good money. Because you know, I was pretty good at what I did, and you know, he had separated that out, and I kept track of all that, and I got to where I was making pretty good money. Well, one day he happened to ask me, he said, "Well, how'd you come out on your income tax last year?" So I said, "Well," I told him, and he said, "Well, what did you make last year?" Now, he was the president of the company; he should have known exactly what I made. I was carrying the title of vice president of the company, but when he found out how much I made, I seen this look on his face, and I went home and I told Margaret, we were getting ready to go on vacation. I said, "Something's going to happen with what I'm making now." I said, "Because I'm getting close to what he's making." You know, and there's that brother thing sometimes, see. And anyway, what ended up happening was, when we came back, He wanted to put me on salary then instead of splitting with me. And I will give you bonuses and I'll do this and I'll do that, you know. Well, he didn't ever follow through with the bonuses and stuff. And for about the next 7 or 8 years that I worked there, I never got a raise, never got any bonuses or any of that stuff that he had told me I would get. But God wouldn't let me leave there. Mark works at a place called Positrol. I could have went to Positrol any time in that whole 19-year period of time and gotten a job. Mark makes good money, and it's a great place to work, isn't it, Mark? I could have made more money out there than what I was making working for my brother. But guess what? Every time I would question the Lord about, Lord, can I leave here? I felt like I always got a no answer. And so, you know, when I could go through the whole mess and tell you the whole mess, but there was a lot of different things that went on. So when people talk about, you know, Esau and Jacob, I understand Esau and Jacob. I lived Esau and Jacob. When people talk about Joseph and his brothers, I understand Joseph and his brothers. I lived Joseph and his brothers for years and years and years. So I have an intimate understanding of that, and I understand exactly what went on there. And I also understand that in the finality, when Joseph, his brothers came before him, and he finally revealed who he was, you know, he came to the realization that they had been in torment for years because they knew that they had thrown him down in a pit, they had sold him off into slavery, and they basically were saying to themselves, you think God's going to require our brother's blood at our hands, you know. And, you know, Joseph, when he heard them talking, he turned around and wept because he realized all those years that he'd been having those problems, so were they, because they had guilt and everything else. And what he did was, he told them later on, he said, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. And so many times when you're in a situation to where you've been mistreated or somebody's treated you bad or said bad things about you or whatever it is, I want you to know that God means it for good. And it's to work things in you. And ultimately, you know, even when my brother was dying in the hospital, I was up there for a month, 4 or 5 hours a day, every day. And he just kept telling me how much he loved me, how much he loved me, you know. And, you know, he didn't always show me the love when we were growing up. And then sometimes when I was working with him at times, you know. I mean, the day that I retired, I'd worked for him for 22 years. I had made him a lot of money, you know. Because if Thurl Dean would understand this, and Mark understands this, when you do precision grinding, you're doing the last operation on the part. And most of the times, I was doing that for outside people. And there's not a whole lot of expense in buying grinding wheels and stuff like that. So everything that I was doing was making him a pretty big profit. And he was making pretty good money off of me. And, you know, when I first went up there, he was charging $60 an hour, where I raised it to $100 an hour for what I did. I didn't get that. The company got that. And, you know, so there was times when I would, just myself, I would generate $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 in a week, you know, just by myself. And it was all profit because he didn't have to buy material or anything like that. If you do the other type of machining, you've got material costs and heat treat and a whole bunch of other costs are in there. Well, when you're finished grinding something, there's no cost other than the minute things that you do while you're grinding that you need to use. But anyway, I'm saying all that to tell you this, that when I spent that time up at the hospital with him, he just kept telling me, you know, he kept telling me, I love you, I love you, I love you, you know. Thank you for all you're doing for me. Thank you for being here for me. You know, he sent me different messages, you know, on the phone, you know. And, you know, but you know what I come to realize is that all of that, what you would look at in the natural that was negative that I went through with times with him was really positive. Because it worked something in me, you know. And it taught me things, like I say, it taught me about Joseph, it taught me about Jacob, it taught me about a lot of things. When I read those scriptures, I don't have to say, well, gee, I wonder how that felt. I know how it felt. I know exactly how it felt. It didn't feel too good. And if people think that Joseph was thinking, oh, I know God's going to do something wonderful for me someday, well, no. But I tell you what, out of all of the things that ever happened to me, God kept blessing me. He kept blessing me. He blessed me financially. He blessed me in a lot of different ways. He blessed me from outside sources. He blessed me from a lot of different things. And I'm telling you, when you get into this scripture here, how many times should you, you know, should you forgive or, you know, whatever, you know, seven times? No, Jesus said, hardly not. 70 times seven, 490 times. Well, I don't think I had 490 times, but I had a few in there. But what did God use all that for in me? He used that in me to change things in me. And I realized that he used that to change things in me. And it says, the kingdom of God is like unto a king who decided to square accounts with his servants. And he got underway, and one servant was brought before him who had run up a debt of hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he couldn't pay up, so the king ordered the man along with his wife and children and goods to be auctioned off at the slave market. The poor wretch knew himself, threw himself at the king's feet and begged, give me a chance and I'll pay it all back. Touched by his plea, the king let him off and erased the debt, totally forgave him. And the servant was no sooner out of the room than he came upon his fellow servants who owed him $10. And he seized him by the throat and demanded, pay up now. And the poor, but he wouldn't do it. And he had him arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid. Then the other servants saw this going on. They were outraged, and they brought a detailed report to the king. And the king summons the man and said, you evil servant, I forgave you your entire debt. Then you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servants who asked for mercy? The king was furious, and he put the screws on the man until he paid back his entire debt. That's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do each of you if he doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. And, you know, I'm going to read you this little story here, and it's called Shirley and Marcy, okay? Shirley Goodness and Marcy. The punchline to this old joke about the little boy walking to school on his own, his mom concerned for him asked a friend and her daughter to walk behind him to school. His friend asked him, who are they? And he explained, every night my mom makes me say the 23rd Psalm and with my prayers, because she worries about me so much. And in that prayer of Psalm says, Shirley and Goodness and Marcy shall follow me all the days of my life. So I guess I just have to get used to them two following me. And you know, when you talk about Shirley Goodness and Mercy, Shirley Goodness and Mercy in the 23rd Psalm, it says, yea, thou walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. And you know, I want you to know that the goodness and mercy of God will follow you as long as you give it to other people. And in Mark 32 through 35, it says, "And the multitude set about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother and my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him, and he said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my mother, is my brother and my sister and my mother." And you know, when you look out there, everyone, as far as God is concerned, is your brother. They are your sister. They are your mother. And if you'll treat them the way that you should treat them, then God will bless you in spite of whatever situation you're going through, in spite of whatever's happening in your life. It won't make any difference. God will continue to bless you. You know, all of the years that I worked with my brother, I never did tell Mark or my daughter or anything that was going on between me and Wiley, you know. And the reason that I didn't tell them, because I didn't want them to think bad of him, you know. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think bad of him. I love him. I was up there with him for a month, basically every day. And, you know, I had the power of attorney over his medical thing. And, you know, there was times when I could have let him die just by making a decision, because he got really bad a couple of times. But I told him to continue. He had a DNR, you know, do not resuscitate. And I told him to as long as they treated him and didn't do anything long term, you know, to do what they could do for him. And, you know, he was getting better different times, but he had a negative attitude, and he kept saying, "I've done some awful things in my life. I've done some awful things in my life." And I kept telling him, "God's forgiven you, Wally. When Christ died on Calvary, he forgave everything that you've ever done." I said, "You don't have to walk in guilt. You don't have to be guilty about anything that you've done." And you know what? I just want you to know that the night Mark said that he passed and went to be with the Lord, it was a very peaceful passing, you know. And it wasn't, he was in a lot of pain, and you know, Mark talked about him, you know, moaning and groaning a lot, and he did that a lot of the time that he was up at the hospital. I sat and listened to it for hours and hours, and I would pray for him when I'd go in, pray for him when I left, and prayed for him while I was up there, and he was praying a lot. So I saw a complete turnaround in him while he was up there. You know, he knew the Lord. He'd given his life to the Lord as a young boy. But then he knew he was going in other directions. He wasn't following what the Lord was telling him to do. But I know that, you know, he told me one time when I was there, he said, he kept asking God, he says, "I don't know why I'm in so much pain. I don't know why I'm in so much pain." He said, "God must be punishing me. God must be punishing me." And I said, "No, God's not punishing you." I said, you're just in pain because your body's wore out. And he mistreated himself. I mean, he did over the years, you know. A lot of younger people, they're worried about their appearance, and they take these steroids and all that kind of stuff. Well, he did stuff like that when he was younger. And I'm going to tell you what, when you get old, it catches up with you. It catches up with you. And I don't care how much you want to try to build up muscles or do any of that other stuff, you better lay off of that stuff, because it catches up with you. Because his kidneys totally shut down on him eventually when he was in the hospital, and they did dialysis and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And a lot of that stuff, it gets you in the end. You might make yourself look better when you're younger, but when you get older, it ain't gonna happen. It's going to catch up with you, you know. But anyway, you know, he cried out to the Lord many, many times. And finally he told me, and I think I shared this the other day, but he told me, he says, "I had a visitation of the Lord." And I was tickled to death that happened. And he said, and I feel like God answered me. He told me, "I wanted you to realize how much I suffered for you, you know." And I don't think what Wiley suffered was nothing like what Jesus suffered, because, you know, he took the sins of the whole world on him. He, all of the sickness, all of the everything, he took it upon him on Calvary. And, you know, when he cried out and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, he had entered into the realm of the man, you know. And he was God and he was man, both. And he had the fullness of the Spirit without measure. But I want you to know that he paid the price for all of our sins and for all of our sicknesses and for all of our mistreatings and for everything that happened to us. He paid the price for that, you know. And just like that little story, Shirley and Marcy will follow you all the days of your life. And they have been following you, whether you realize it or not. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And the last part of that is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And you know, I know that he stepped from this life over into eternal life. And do I feel like that he fulfilled God's purpose and promise for his life? Yes, I do. And so many times we don't realize that, you know, God said, even concerning Pharaoh, he said, for this cause I rose Pharaoh up, that my glory might be seen in the earth. And I don't say that God rose Wiley up just to aggravate me, because he knew how to do it, and he did it for a long time. And, you know, I'm sure I aggravated him at times too, because brothers do that to each other. But I want you to realize that he came to that surrender, that total surrender to the Lord before he passed to go to be with the Lord. And you know, in Luke 6:36 through 42, this is out of the Message Bible, it says, our Father is kind. You be kind. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. The hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people, and you'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life, and you'll find life is given back. But not merely given back, but given back with bonus and blessings. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Be quoted a proverb, can a blind man guide a blind man? Won't they both fall in the ditch? An apprentice doesn't lecture the master. Don't tell God what he should and shouldn't do. We have a bad habit of doing that. We'll pray and say, God, you need to do this. God, you need to do that. Don't try to tell God what to do. Tell him, Father, I trust you. Whatever you do, it's okay. And you know what? It might mean that you have to go through some things, but go through them. Do what God has you do. The apprentice doesn't lecture the master. The point is, be careful who you follow as your teacher. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, and then your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this I know better than mentally, again, playing the holier-than-thou part. Instead, just living your own part, wipe that ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. 1 Corinthians 6, 6 through 8. But brother that goeth to law with brother, and before the believers now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, do wrong and defraud, you're not your brother. You know, I got one other little story here I want to read to you. And I like this, and it goes like this. It says, the best parable of trust we have in our home is our cat, Clem. He has a companion cat, Archie. But a local coyote recently ate Archie. So when our cat goes outside, he lives in terror. He looks around as though it's a jungle, and he's terrified. But when he comes in the house, he lies on the floor right between the kitchen and the dining room, where we walk most frequently, and falls asleep in total trust. My wife or I could squash Clem's head, but he trusts us. Our cat lives in complete, total confidence in his human companions. Every time I see Clem just lying there, I say to myself, that's what Jesus wants me to do, to trust him. The kind of trust the cat shows us is the kind of trust the Lord wants from us. And you know, that's the truth. A lot of times you realize that an animal, when they're in your house, they just chill out. They just lay back and take it easy. You know, and you know, that's what God wants us to do. And I don't care what situation he's got you in, or if you've ever been mistreated or somebody's ever done you wrong or anything like that, ask God to give you a forgiveness for that person. You know, I'm sure that when Joseph's brothers came back before him, even though what happened in that whole story was Joseph had a vision and God gave him the vision. And when God gave him the vision that, you know, he gave him this vision that these things were going to bow before him, you know. And he gave him that the stars were going to do obeisance to him. And boy, his brothers got upset when he told that story. And I'll tell you this sometimes. Don't be so quick to tell everybody what God speaks to your heart. Because a lot of times what you're going to do is you're going to build up resentment. And you know, I'll have to say this, that so many times, no matter what situation or circumstance you're in, just know that God has everything pre-planned in your life. You're not going to be put in any situation that he didn't know you were going to be in before you ever got in that situation. You know, like I told you before, I could have left my brother's place different times. And when he got his second divorce, because he got divorced three times. But when he got his second divorce, I had made up my mind I was going to leave. And it was about that time, and it was about one of the times when he had basically cut my pay. And when somebody cuts your pay $15,000 a year, that's a lot of cut. You know, and that's what that cut would have amounted out to. I had made up my mind I was going to leave. And he sat in there in the office when I told him, I said, well, I think I'm going to be leaving. And I would have given him notice and everything anyway. And literally he cried and begged me to stay. And he said, you know, I don't know if I can stand anything else going on right now while I'm getting this divorce and all this other stuff is going on. And he begged me to stay. I'll make it up to you. Well, I stayed. He didn't make it up to me. But you know what? God knew what was going on. He knew. And I mean, he taught me exactly what Joseph went through, but in a different vein. He taught me exactly what Esau and Jacob went through, you know, in a different vein, you know. And so a lot of times when God's got you in situations and you're thinking, why in the world am I in this situation, you know. And like I say, I know I could have left any time, but I never felt the release to leave. You know, look at this church here right now. The amount of people that's in here right now, 90% of the people ever pastoring this church would have already hit the road. But you know what? I never have felt God to give me that release yet. I think I'm getting close to it, to be honest with you. I'm getting close to it. But I tell you what, you know, I wait until I know what the Lord's telling me to do in something before I do it. And I just want you to know that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter if you've been mistreated by somebody, no matter if you've got a problem where you think, Lord, why in the world am I going through this? If you'll just trust Him and walk on through it until He gives you a release or lets you go into something else or whatever, you know, you'll learn some mighty things. Because a lot of people, the minute things start getting a little rough, they run. And I don't run from things. I don't run because I've learned that if you run away from a situation, what happens is God will get you down the road and put you in the same situation in a worse position than what you was before. And I'll just tell you this, just be obedient to what God says. If somebody's offended you, if they've offended you 490 times, forgive them. Forgive them. If they've mistreated you 490 times, forgive them. Because if you don't do that, then how are you going to expect God to forgive you? And how are you going to sit? You know, Scripture says, know you not that the saints will judge the world. And how are you going to ever sit in judgment as far as releasing people into real life if you can't forgive people? And I don't know why I'm saying this. There's got to be somebody sitting out there, or somebody's going to hear this on the internet or something, that's having a hard time forgiving somebody. And I'm going to tell you, forgive them. Ask God to help you. Forgive them and forget, you know. And I'm handling my brother's affairs for him. And he's got two conflicting wills, which is going to make it fun, you know. He's got one that's got a trust, and then he made a will after he had the trust and took everything away from what he had in the trust. And it don't work like that. So this is going to be a mess, and I'm going to have to probably spend time in court and everything else, you know, trying to fulfill his wishes, you know. And you know what I was left in the will? Nothing. Nothing. But that's okay, because you know what? I didn't want anything. And you know what? It's not about what you get or what you get out of things. It's about doing what God wants you to do. And I'm going to tell you what, if you do that, you're going to come out on top every time. Every time. No matter what. And anyway, I just, you know, like I say, I hope you all didn't mind me talking about this a little bit today. But I just want you to understand, if God's got you in a situation where it's an aggravating situation, aggravating the life out of you, that's exactly what He's trying to do, is allow your life to get aggravated out of you so that you'll live His life. And that's what He wants from all of us. So when you find yourself in the fiery furnace, or you find yourself, you know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you find yourself tossed into that fiery furnace, and you just trust the Lord, guess what? There'll be somebody else in there with you. And that fourth person will be like unto the Son of God. And that's exactly what's with you all the time. And no matter what you're going through or what's happening, just trust the Lord. That's all I can tell you today. And like I say, somebody needed to hear this. I don't know if it's anybody sitting out here, but if somebody's mistreated you or done you wrong, or you've had some bad situations, hang in there. Don't run away from it. Let God do what wants to teach you out of the situation. And when He does, you'll be way ahead of the game. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to bless this word. I know that this is not one of them tickle your ears word. I know, Father, that there has to be people out there who have been mistreated in some way, or they've actually said, Lord, why is this happening to me? And you know, my brother said that a couple of different times up in the hospital. Why is this happening to me? Well, it was happening to him for him to come to the realization that God was his answer, and he did. And I thank God for that. And I thank God that he's with the Lord, and he's part of that great cloud of witnesses now, urging us all to go on into perfection. And you know, no matter what situation you find yourself in, if you're thrown down into the pit, then know that God's the one that'll get you out of the pit when it's time to come out of the pit. You know, If you're cast into prison, he's the one that'll get you out of prison when it's time for you to come out of prison. But if you'll trust him while you're in there, he'll even give you favor with the guards. You know, if you're a servant at somebody's household, you know, be the best servant you can be. Do it as unto the Lord, and know that the Lord will bless you and will honor everything that you do as long as you do it for him. And Father, I just give you all praise and all glory, and I ask you to just bless your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you all.